Congressman Tipton, how will you vote on the Local Enforcement for Local Lands Act? It would do away with federal law enforcement officers on federal lands.
Yeah, I think if I recall right, that's been brought up. Is that 622 Chaffetz's bill?
Yes.
If I recall correctly?
Yes.
Yeah, the bill has just been introduced and assigned to committee. There is no planned markup on that legislation. You know, if it does come as is presented right now, as I understand it, it's not something I would support. I've visited with our local sheriff. They don't have the resources or the manpower to be able to be responsible for all of the public lands. As the sheriffs have noted to me, they are typically the first responder, however, on public lands, which speaks to the important provision that we put in our request for the appropriations process to make sure the PILT monies are fully funded out to our counties to be able to help our local law enforcement personnel.
The West Slope, as you know, is dependent on snow for water. And the Colorado Water Plan is a direct result of forecasts that include the effects of climate change on future water supply. President Trump's American Energy Independence Order rolls back regulations such as the Clean Power Plan. It disbands the Interagency Working Group on the Social Cost of Greenhouse Gases. It lifts the federal coal leasing moratorium and restrictions on oil and gas and mineral development and production. Some say that this will increase U.S. contributions to climate change and wreck the Paris Agreement. What are your thoughts about the AEIO?
You know, I think what we saw actually in terms of a rule that was proposed, and I think it's important to be able to note that the Clean Power Plan was not a bill that was proposed, just like the one we were just talking about. This came out in a regulatory fashion. Out of the bureaucracies. If you look at that, it had overlaps in terms of some of the requirements that we're going to be putting in, which are going to be increasing costs for consumers, failed to recognize the advancements that we've had in technology to cite the EPA as an example. Methane releases in the United States are down 4.5%, 5% since the late 1990s, and that number is continuing to improve as we're becoming more efficient with our fuel sources and starting to expand out and all of the above strategies. The rules and regulations that come through, I know of no one who opposes good, sensible rules and regulations, but this was an overreach that we were seeing in terms of the duplicative nature of the rules and regulations that were coming out. And we need to make sure that we're working twofold to be able to make sure that we're doing things in an environmentally sensitive way and looking out for costs that consumers are incurring as well. One bill that I have introduced or will be introducing is Planning for America's Energy Future Act, which literally calls for all of the above. And we enumerate in the bill wind, solar, geothermal, hydroelectric, oil, gas, oil, shale, coal, that entire portfolio of the mix, not eliminating any environmental requirements, but making sure that we're using the entire portfolio. And I think we're seeing real progress in our country. A lot more usage of wind and solar. Hydroelectric, good example, one of the few bills that was signed into law was my Small Hydroelectric and Jobs Act. And the first example of that working was in Chavano Falls outside of Montrose here in the 3rd Congressional District with a good renewable resource of hydroelectric power to generate clean energy. So it is that entire portfolio that I think is desirable, and we need to make sure that we've got that balance that is, again, looking out for the environmental sensitivity and also the consumers and the costs that they're going to be paying.
There are a couple of things that are happening in Colorado. The, as you probably know, Lafayette, Colorado, was the first city in, actually it's the first law in Colorado that it's an ordinance that allows for a right to a healthy climate for people and nature, and has banned oil and gas extraction as a violation of that right. And the Colorado Court of Appeals recently required the COGCC to consider a petition of young people who want the COGCC to stop issuing fracking permits. And I think some of this has to do with climate change. The National Farmers Union wants President Trump to keep U.S. in the Paris Climate Agreement. Some people really believe that the AEIO, this American Energy independence order will really increase U.S. contributions to climate change?
Certainly respect people's opinion in terms of wanting to make sure that we're doing things in an environmentally sound way. Part of the challenge is it can't just be the United States. I think when we, again, look at the technologies that we're employing, the development that we've seen, I've toured our Vestas facility here in the 3rd Congressional District, the solar arrays in the San Luis Valley in terms of renewable resources. We recognize that they cannot yet handle the base load that is going to be there. And to be able to keep the lights on and the heat going or the cooling going, depending on the time of year. And we're making good progress in terms of sensible policy that's going to be environmentally sound, calling for all of the above in the United States. We're not seeing concurrent actions that are coming out of our counterparts, say, in China and India. And I believe that in the United States, we have an awareness and a commitment to make sure that we are doing it right. And I suspect that we will continue to pursue that policy. But it isn't a go-it-alone sort. We do need to see the results out of these other countries as well.
Congressman Scott Tipton, thanks very much for talking with me today. I look forward to talking to you next month.
You bet. Pleasure to visit with you. Have a good afternoon.